football on off the ball.
I'm going to go up on a limb here, and if you want to just go off raw instinct and just emotionally how I feel about it, I have felt since for the Hungary game actually, but the Hungary game definitely reinforced. I think we're going to the World Cup. I think our name is on the cup. I think we're going. I think we're in that space.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Paint March Green with Cadbury.
Okay, we think we are in motion here. This is a very special episode of The Green Scene, live from Prague. Myself, David Wilson, and Ben Symes are here, ahead of our live broadcast later this evening from Sally O'Neill's pub.
We had a late change of pub. Yeah. We went from Sally O'Brien's to Sally O'Neill's, so that's where we are at the moment. That's why it took me a second.
Yeah, so it's been a pretty momentous morning. There's a lot of Irish fans kind of, we're on our flight this morning. We're a lot of Irish fans in Dublin Airport as well this morning. It's been a pretty hectic kind of journey to get here, but not as hectic as what Matthew Brennan is currently going through, our colleague here in the Green Scene. Matthew, where are you right now?
I'm currently sitting outside a cafe called, funnily enough, the Check-In Bar in airport not in Czechia, an airport in Poland, in Wrocław. So I made my way here. I'm not here too long. I'd say I'm here about a half an hour waiting for my train to Prague, which will get me there for about 9:15 this evening after a journey that began in Dublin at about 5:00 this morning.
So Matthew, tell us, how has the journey come about? Like, what was the route you've taken? I think some people are following on our social channels as well. What's the crack? What's been going on?
Yeah, so obviously initially when we found out we were going to be playing over in Prague, the first thing to do was go and see how much the flights to Prague were. And they were a little bit too expensive for a young man like me, so I decided to see what other way I could go. And that resulted in me getting a flight from Dublin at 8:15 this morning to Newcastle, the Toon, making a stop up there in Alex Murphy country for not too long, maybe 3/4 hour, and then jumping on a flight to Wrocław, where I am now, and then of course in an hour I'm going to be on a train, an hour and a half on a train to Prague. The journey itself has been, it's funny enough, you say it's been hectic, I'm not sure exactly what word you used, it's actually been okay, funnily enough. No delays, nothing like that. We had a bit of a bumpy landing coming into Newcastle, but that's all par for the course. It comes into territory, and yeah, come across a lot of Irish fans, taking the exact same route, some taking similar routes. Interestingly enough, a lot of people staying here in Wrocław in Poland for the night, and then making their way over to Prague tomorrow and spending the night there before heading back over to Poland then on Friday before they fly home. So that's been the most common route I've come across. Not everyone doing exactly what I'm doing, but there have been a couple of lads I've come across who are from Galway, who had a very early start today. There's video up on our social of that. Actually, I went to school with Alex Murphy, two of them, and they had a very early start. We're on the road at, I think they said, 3:00 this morning, and they're going to arrive in Prague at the exact same time as I do.
I was going to say, Matthew, we were walking through Dublin Airport this morning, and you were looking at the sea of green going on flights, and then you'd look up at the destination and it was Brussels, yes, Geneva, Krakow, wherever they were going to. I was going to say, I presume it's the exact same on your route, by the sounds of it, it absolutely is. It's kind of mad. It was mad to just see that it was completely football fans in Dublin Airport, yeah, this morning. There was a couple of Northern Ireland fans on their way up.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, there's a couple of them in Dublin Airport this morning. They're obviously playing Italy tomorrow night in Atalanta's ground. But have you noticed kind of the sea of green in the airports as you've been travelling through them?
I would say so, absolutely, in Dublin Airport. I think we would have travelled out of different terminals ourselves this morning. You guys would have been in T2, I think I was in T1, so I can absolutely back up that fact about the sea of green in Dublin, and it was something I actually said on breakfast this morning. It kind of blew me away to a degree, and all different generations, like babies, young kids, teenagers, you know, parents of those, grandparents. So absolutely, as I moved through, obviously, like my flight to Newcastle, I'd say if there was 200 people on it, 150 of them were heading on the flight to Wrocław as well just after. So it definitely kind of transcended into Newcastle, as he agreed. I'm in Wrocław now, and to be honest, it's quite empty. There's not really a whole lot going on. I don't really see any kind of green around here at the minute, but that being said, the flight did land about an hour ago, so We'll have to wait and see. I think when I get on the train to Prague, I'll perhaps see a couple more Irish people then.
Well, Matthew, I have to tell you, an absolutely beautiful city, to be honest, away to. It's my first time in Prague. As soon as you're coming into the city from the airport, you can see the castle kind of towers over everything. And we've already ran into a couple of Irish fans on our travels here to the pub. Sally's pub is what I'm going to call it from here on in. It's actually the sister pub of the other Sally's. So that was why the change up happened. Yeah, a beautiful city. Like, it's something that I think myself and a lot of other people have ran into a lot when you travel across Europe. It's nice to go to a capital city that has a good functioning metro system, tram system, public transport system in general. We got the tram over. You can probably, I don't know if you can hear them, but like, we're literally in a bunker here in this pub and we can hear the trams going over us sort of every couple of minutes or so. It's a fabulous city. I can't wait to explore the old town this evening. I would have to imagine that's going to be where the majority of Ireland fans are going to be kind of settling in upon. We'll get to the football in a few minutes, but aside from the actual 90 minutes on Thursday night, it's always a little bit sweeter when you get to go to these away days and you're going to a city like this.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. It kind of feels like what it must have been like back in the day when Ireland fans were going to Italia 90 and USA 94. We're kind of going on this massive, mythical almost journey where, like, this, I haven't seen a group of Irish people in the one place, in a random place ever before. Because, like, there's only maybe 5,000 or 6,000 here. It feels like a whole pile more.
I can almost guarantee you there's more than 5,000 or 6,000 people in Prague come tomorrow for sure, just based off the people who are going to be in surrounding areas as well.
It feels like an event where, like, you just want to be part of it. Like, I know myself and Matthew, we're going to look for maybe tickets tomorrow and stuff. We probably won't get any. There's already been people on to us. Like, they've seen the off the ball pop shields and the microphones and they're like, oh, any tickets ads? Here, have any tickets ads? We can tell you, we have no tickets and we won't be finding any tickets probably, but like we can try. But I think it's just a point where everyone just wants to be part of this and everyone wants to be here when it happens. And I think Owen mentioned this in the show maybe on Monday, but I don't think there's been a bigger Ireland match for a long, long time. And it just kind of feels, yeah, the excitement is just palpable, really. It's been incredible so far. And I just can't imagine what it's going to be like tonight and even tomorrow is match day.
Yeah, what have you lads been up to today? What have you been at, considering all I've been doing is travelling? I haven't really had a chance to have a look across any of our socials at some of the other stuff, aside from the stuff I've been posting myself.
Yeah, look, we got into Prague. We got into the city centre at, what was it, around 12 o'clock? Yeah. Coming up to half 12. And with a couple of obviously internal bits to sort out for what the day is kind of going to planning out. Like, you know yourself with these sort of things last minute. People dropping in, people pulling out, venues kind of changing and all that sort of thing. So you're trying to kind of nail down those sort of things. And then with a quick walk around, Owen had a good interview with Ian Willoughby, who is an Irish journalist who moved to Czechia, 32 years ago. So long before you were born, Matthew, maybe a little bit closer to David's time.
Yeah, but it might have been on the day of his birthday, in fact.
Well, it wouldn't be because I'm not actually 30 yet. But what I just say is on that interview, it's free on our Off the Ball channels now with Ian Willoughby. It's really interesting about what the lay of the land is here in Prague. And you kind of don't realize it until you're here, but a lot of the Czech population don't really care so much about this massive football game. Like, it's kind of, Owen mentions in the interview, like, it's kind of not pushing the needle here, where it is the needle back in Ireland, back at home. So, like, the biggest sport here in Czech Republic is is ice hockey. And the Winter Olympics were on recently, and that's what most people are paying attention to. So football isn't, like, turning the needle. But the big story that was on kind of the back pages and some of the front pages here is,
we actually have a few here at the moment with us. We went out and bought them just to show you exactly what they're thinking.
It's a scandal, and it's the match-fixing scandal that's kind of gripped Czech football here at the minute. So there's a big investigation. This seems to be bubbling away for a long time, and now finally the police have kind of made their move. So it's really interesting about, like, there's not the same, I don't think, conversations happening around the team or happening around the manager like the, what we're having at home. So yeah, it's really kind of interesting to see that and being on the ground here.
Yeah, it definitely is a weird feeling to walk around knowing, like, we're all here for a huge, momentous occasion, not just for Irish sport, for Irish life. And then you walk around the city, and the only people you see who seem to be in any way sort of invested in this are Irish fans. Like, the general public, it's just life is normal, really. Life is going on. Yeah. As we said, the biggest kind of story in football and sport alone is the match fixing scandal, which is absolutely insane to think you have such a huge World Cup playoff around the corner and there doesn't really seem too many eyes on it. Look, maybe that's something, maybe it will creep into the minds of the players and the team. We don't know. It could not. Like, we're probably clutching at straws to say it'll get into the minds of the Czech camp. But it is very interesting to see when you're on the ground here. And for us at home, March has kind of been this like mystical, magical date in the future. And now that we're here and we're in Prague, it doesn't really feel real. And especially doesn't feel real when you see no one in Czechia seems to care about this. Like, this is such a moment, not yet, but it's such a momentous occasion for us. Like, this is all the country has been talking about for a number of months, really. And no one really seems to bat an eyelid. It's a little bit strange. Yeah. But that being said, it is an absolutely beautiful city to be a part of. We might focus our attention a little bit towards the football that's going to take place in a moment.
Just before we move on, Matthew, just one interesting thing for Ireland fans is that Ian Willoughby, the journalist that was speaking to us earlier, he did mention about what Pavel Nedved said recently, or said a month or so ago, that Ireland fans are welcome to Prague, and we really are. We've been welcomed incredibly well here, but also that they will be welcome to the stadium, but only 1,024 that have tickets. And it seems like if Ireland fans could get their hands on tickets, that they will be allowed in as long as they don't cause any trouble or maybe wear the Ireland shirts or are too rambunctious. You're probably going to have to bring your passport and stuff like that as well to prove your identification if you do get a ticket. But it seems it'll be more than 1,000 Ireland fans in the ground tomorrow. And that's kind of interesting to see. Yeah, that's interesting to see like what kind of the next kind of 24, 28 hours are going to be like.
Yeah,
absolutely. And just on the ticketing as well, I think it's from speaking to a couple of people, obviously naturally with the amount of Irish people that were on the flights I was on today, I ended up sitting beside more than a few, and none of whom had tickets for the game, and obviously were asking me if I had tickets for the game, and obviously I don't. But there was an acceptance of, yeah, we'd love a ticket, but like, we don't really care, we just want to be in and around the hustle and bustle of it. And yeah, like, and people of all generations too, like, you know, not just people of our kind of vintage, people a bit older as well, just saying that, look, this, we haven't had something like this in so long and we want to be a part of it and we want to be in and around it. And if we get to hang around the streets of Prague while the game is going on, then that'll do us. So, yeah, if you do manage to get in, best of luck. Look after yourself, stay safe and cheer the boys on. But if you don't, you're going to be just as valuable.
Yeah, one thing as well I'll mention, Ian Willoughby said that Czech people are very kind of, they're not aggressive at all. There's no inkling of like anything that would happen or any like crowd trouble or any, like, they're very kind of placid and easygoing. They will be, maybe he said they're the best kind of aggressive, passive aggressive. So that maybe is something to both kind of think about in the future. But
I'm not too keen on passive aggressiveness myself in general. But
no, true.
But that would be okay in a stadium. No, I'm not insinuating there's going to be any trouble. But naturally, when tensions are high and there could be one or two Irish lads in the middle of a load of Czech people, that might not end too well. So
yeah.
That's where I'm coming from on that end.
Yeah, I suppose the big thing is this morning is the press conference from Hamarhal Grimson and Seamus Coleman. And I guess it's quite interesting that Seamus Coleman was put out to bat today alongside Hal Grimson.
Look, I was in Abbottstown on Monday speaking to John O'Shea, Nathan Collins, amongst others. And I did kind of know at the time, I thought it was a little bit funny that the captain for Ireland's biggest game in years is speaking at home on the Monday and not the day before in the stadium. And we were kind of talking about it. It probably makes a little bit of sense. Seamus Coleman is that experience, had he been here before. You don't want to add unnecessary pressure onto Nathan Collins and throw him up front of the media for a training session the day before the biggest game of his life, as he admitted to on Monday. Seamus has been here. He's done it. He's worn the T-shirt. Like, he's been in multiple playoffs now for Ireland. So I suppose when you deep that decision, really, it makes a lot of sense. It was interesting to see him say that when he was asked about his fitness, that, you know, he says he trains 100% still every day. sometimes for the worst, kind of that the effects he feels from it. But like, there's no doubts at all. Like, Seamus Coleman is never ever. He's such an amazing competitor and spirit and mentality towards sport that he will never kind of, you know, he never won't give 100%. But it's great to see him say it with chest and just kind of go, yeah. No, like I am ready for this. Like I know you have concerns that I haven't been playing regularly, but like, don't worry, I did it a couple of months ago in November. Like I can do it again now. I'd be absolutely fine. The other thing that Hamer was asked about, obviously there was a couple of reports this morning in the Independent in the UK that Harvey Vail could be up for selection in the starting 11, which really kind of threw me by surprise. I definitely didn't think he'd be in contention to start. And then it kind of begs the question of, well, I can't really see him starting over Finn Azaz. I can't see him starting over the midfield. Does he start over Chido Zogbene? Is that where the concern is for Hamer Grimson, that Chido Zogbene isn't fully fit the way Seamus Coleman says he is fully fit? Maybe the lack of minutes is going to affect Zogbene more than we know. Look, we don't know. We weren't in the camp all week. Like, Hamer will know a lot more from having been with those players during the week. But it's interesting, like, I think, Matthew, you might have noted on this podcast before about how Chido Zogbene is at his best when he's had a run of games under his belt. And we saw that with the Armenia game when he hadn't had a run of games under his belt. And then he did by November time. And he was really at top form. And now we know, obviously, he hasn't been playing senior football. It's yeah. I don't know what you think, Matthew, but it's when I read that Harvey Vail news earlier, I was a little bit taken aback.
Yeah, no, that is definitely noteworthy. For sure. And I actually had quite a few people just in conversation talking about Harvey Vail and being intrigued by what might happen with him, and not from a point of view as is he going to start, but I did have one guy actually turn around to me and say he thought he might start, and maybe that's off the back of reading that article that I hadn't actually managed to see myself. But I don't know, yeah, it's an interesting one. I would have looked at Harvey Vail as an option on the right hand side, an advanced right hand side, which I suppose is where Bene has been playing. But yeah, wow, that is an interesting one if he does do that. I don't I can't see it still. I mean, I don't know I haven't been on the camp, I can't see it, but I wouldn't have seen him as an option, but like as that being his preferred role. I mean, Hamer said he sees him as going forward in the future as an option in the middle too, but I definitely can't see him starting there. I think you're right. I think if he is going to start, it probably is over Bene. It definitely cannot be over Finn Azaz, and there's no really other position in the team, is there?
It would kind of signify a possible change in shape for Hull Grimson. Yeah. Like, instead of a, let's say, 5-2-1-2, let's say, as in a front two of Parrott and Ogbeni, it'd be like a 5-2 and a 2 in Azaz and Harvey Vail.
Yeah.
And obviously Troy Parrott up front. Do you think, Matthew, like, Parrott can do a lot of things, play as a lone striker, play in a front two. Is that the best thing for Troy Parrott to be up front on his own, or will there be enough support coming from players like Azaz, like Harvey Vail, or do we really need that pace and power that Chido Zogbene has?
I think on the face of what we've seen be successful, particularly under Algrimson, and the limited evidence we have for limited kind of you know, data that we have. Apologies that this announcement comes off behind me. I wish I knew what he was saying, but I don't. I think from what we've seen, the likes of Obene with that pace and power is something that we do need, and just give them something different to think about. We've seen Parrott and Ferguson in limited minutes play together and it not be overly successful, albeit we only think I've only seen it for about 90 minutes or so. I wouldn't be starting Troy Parrott and Harvey Vail myself if I was the one making the calls, but Hamer is the man making the calls and he's paid the big bucks for a reason, so if he does decide to do that, I'll absolutely be backing it. But I still think the sensible thing, if Ogbeni is match fit enough to start the game and play 65 minutes, is probably to go with that.
Yeah, it is a huge call. That would be a massive.
It is. It's a massive call. And sorry, I just want to, before I don't, sorry, I know it's annoying cutting you off on when we're remote, but as far as that second striker goes, it is a massive call. Sorry, I know I'm just reiterating it, but
don't worry, it's been a long day, Matthew, and we're only not even halfway through it yet.
Yeah, I was going to try to play that off as though I didn't forget what I was going to say, but I absolutely just forgot what I was going to say there.
Well, we are here in Prague, and we wouldn't be here without the love and support of our sponsors. So the Green Scene and Off the Ball with Cadbury's, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Paint March Green with Cadbury's. Just moving
before you do go in, I remembered what I was going to say.
Okay, go.
The Harvey Vale thing would absolutely indicate the change in shape. You said that a minute ago, and I wanted to just make a point that if Harvey Vale starts, I don't think we're going to be playing that formation we played in the last two games in the qualifying window.
We've seen from what Hamer said in the last couple of days and this morning as well, that Jules, he described it obviously as a war on the first day on the last Thursday. What do we need in that midfield to make sure we can cope with the physicality of what is a big Czech team?
You need fight. You need aggression. You need aggression with the right kind of aggression, not the type of aggression where you get booked 6 minutes into the game. The aggression where you—I hate to use cliches, but like you let them know you're there. Type of aggression. I think Jason Malumbi is perfect for that role in this game. I am a little bit worried, and it would also kind of lend into that theory. And let's just rest, it's just a theory. We don't know for certain at all if Harvey Vale is going to start, but it would signify a change in shape. And something that I'm a little bit worried about is the midfield getting overrun by a midfield three. And that's without Thomas Souček, if reports are to be believed in the Czech media, that Thomas Souček is not going to start. And it's going to be Lukáš Provod, Pavel Sulč, and Vladimír Darida, the 34-year-old or 35-year-old even recalled back into the side after a five-year absence. So if Czech reports are to believe, Souček isn't going to start, which is, I suppose, on the face of it, you would think it's an advantage to us. But they're still going to have more legs than us in there with a three versus a two, what we've played for the last, I suppose, number of games under Hal Grimson. So you need that type of aggression, but you also maybe just need the extra man. Yeah. And like the best way to combat height, physicality, aggression, fast-paced football is to just match up to them and literally have the same numbers as them in the middle. And the middle of the park is where you can get overrun so easily in a game of football. You know what I mean? And go on, sorry. I think Jason Malumbi is perfect for that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jack Taylor play alongside him, because I know he kind of has that little bit more of a frame and stature about him, and he has that physicality. We've seen him win aerial duels, and duels, like you said, is the word that Hal Grimson has been, I suppose, banging the drum of so much. And the loss of Josh Cullen is huge, but I wonder, can that be offset by the physicality of, say, a Jack Taylor? Boston Wild would have been ideal for it. But I know we spoke about last week how we could see him making a big impact. I can't see him starting. I just don't think he's fit enough. I can see him playing a big role off the bench. I still stand by that. But I think he would have been perfect if he was fully fit.
Just on that, Matthew, are we expecting a serious defensive job from Finn Azaz tomorrow night? And is he the player? Is he capable of doing that?
In what sense? In terms
like
of where
he's going to have
he
to
lines
drop
up on
in.
The pitch or.
Yeah, so he's going to have to drop in and obviously be very disciplined when Ireland don't have the ball. But has he shown the defensive capabilities that he's going to need to show tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think so. I think I wouldn't have too many concerns about that. I think this is not what you're insinuating, but he does get labelled as a bit of a luxury player. Like that is sort of the tag that he's kind of thrown around with him, that he doesn't work particularly hard, and he only kind of comes alive when the ball is in around him. I don't think that's necessarily true. I just think he tends to drift out of games quite a lot, particularly when he's on that left-hand side, which might be where he ends up tomorrow, specifically if we don't go with that three in midfield. Are you thinking of that three in midfield? Where does Azaz fit into that? Is he one of the three, or is he your man beside Parrott, or how does that look?
For me, Azaz is like not a number 10, but kind of a number 10. And Ogbeni and is also expected to do a job and drop in when we don't have the ball.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and that's what I've been thinking for the last week. And I said it on the show on Monday night that I think that's what the team is, and I think it's Jack Taylor and Jason Malumbi and Azaz in a 10, but he basically just makes it a 3. But when I'm trying to think of what the team would be if Harvey Vale.
Just aside from the Harvey Vale thing, so then does that results in Azaz playing a more central role, and then our width on the left comes from
Ryan Manning. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And he does the job of two men there, essentially, with his eyes filling in the middle. I think that could definitely work, yeah. I think when we're discussing the midfield, I wouldn't really have too much not interest, but like, I don't think his eyes is going to be an issue in any way, shape or form tomorrow. Like, he's either going to have one of them games where he's involved and he's not involved. And I think that's fine. I think that's what he is. And I think he's worth having in there. Like, I know you're not suggesting to drop him or anything, but yeah, I think I wouldn't be worrying about his eyes at all. I just think the midfield thing is very interesting. I really do. I know you mentioned there about Lawal, and obviously we spoke about it last week and about his fitness. I think there's a difference in opinion of how fit Boss Lawal is between Stoke and between the Republic of Ireland management team. I think John O'Shea made that pretty clear during the week. So I wouldn't change my opinion based on whether he's going to start or not. I don't think he will. I'd say if you were to say to me now, you know, is he going to start or is he not going to start? I'd probably say he's not. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he did. I think they deem him fit enough, definitely to play a significant role. I think Jason Lumbee's going to be in there. That's the mood music that we're hearing. But the other one is totally up for grabs. Like, I mean, if you're talking about legs, we're talking about matching him in midfield. There's no better man than Jason Knight to run his legs off, run his socks off for 90 minutes. I mean, Alan Brown is kind of known for just being fit, and Jack Taylor offers that bit of physicality that perhaps the other two don't. So when you brought up the team very initially, the first thing that came to my head was, I can't remember the last time I was going into an Ireland football game where I had this little kind of assurance in my own mind as to what I think the starting 11 is going to be. And the system too. The system is the big one. I really now, the more we hear, I'm not so sure we're going to line up how we did against Portugal and Hungary.
Yeah, just very brief before we move on, what I was going to say about Harvey Vaile is, I would be interested to see, would it be a box midfield if Harvey Vaile is that player that comes in for Chidoz Akbeni and Parrott is up top on his own? So you're looking at basically like Lumbee and Taylor in there, and Azaz and Vaile in basically two tens ahead of them. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see that either, and that four to match up to the three.
Yeah, just on that, we've seen that kind of system in Yerevan in Armenia, and it did not work at all. Jack Taylor was one of the number 10s. He got hooked at half time.
But he's
number 10. No, he's not. But yeah, in that game he was, and I was like, God, I don't know, he'd be lucky to play for Ireland again. Look, he did, and
he was very good against Portugal in Dublin.
He was. But yeah, it's been, it's interesting to see. Like, we're going to have, obviously, Kelleher picks himself in goals. The back three is most likely going to be O'Shea, O'Brien and Nathan Collins. It's going to be Coleman on the right. It's going to be, on the left, is going to be Ryan Manning. In midfield, we'll have...
I think it'll be Malumbi, Taylor. And look, I know those Harvey Vaile stuff was going strong this morning. I still just think he's going to stick to what he knows, and it will be Azaz, Ogbene, Parrott. The only basic players that we're doubting here are, does Ogbene play, and maybe who's that midfielder beside Jason Malumbi, but we think it's Jack Taylor.
Yeah,
I would be surprised. Sorry, my hand's in the way. I would be surprised if Harvey Vaile started in a system that is a back five.
Interesting. Yeah. Like, he did in QPR, usually play.
But can I ask what, like, in terms of, you can only see him playing on the right or the left, or?
No, not necessarily. I could see him playing on the right, definitely. I don't know about the left. I've never seen him play on the left. Hemmer said he can play there, but from what I've looked into QPR season, I haven't seen that. But the only, I could see him playing in the right of midfield of a three. So like, okay, the right, like sorry, not the right midfield, but the third midfielder of a midfield three, I could see that in a 4-3-3 type situation or whatever.
Well, I spoke to Harry Vaile on Monday, and he basically said he sees himself and the group sees himself as a 10, yeah, is what he said.
Yeah, because when he came in, that was sort of what
my,
I was thinking.
That's where my kind of theory of the box 10 comes in, and I know it didn't work in Armenia, but I would be interested to know, does Hal Grimson think it can work when we have two out and out tens, yeah, in those situations, which is what Azaz and Vaile really
did
are.
Did we play a five in Armenia? Yeah.
Yeah, we more or less did, and we had like Jake O'Brien kind of playing nearly as a wing back. And I just remember I was standing behind the goal that time as we were attacking the far end, and I remember we should have had a penalty early doors, and we didn't get it. And after that, they just kind of capitulated. I'd be worried to go back to that system. And I don't think he will go back to that system. I think it'll be the same system that was successful against Hungary. I think tomorrow Ireland are going to have to suffer. I don't think actually the Czechs are that great on the ball. Like, let's see about that tomorrow. But from what I've been looking at, I'm okay with them having the ball, and I think it suits us.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really physical game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a game that's won by, unfortunately, if you're a neutral, set pieces, it's going to be won by duels. It's going to be won by kind of the boring stuff where if you're a neutral of football,
yeah,
it probably isn't the game for the purists type of thing. And I think that's exactly both teams' strengths, really. And it's how I think that's the game is basically going to come down to who wins those physical battles more.
Yeah. Matthew, we know that you have to go fairly soon, but just before you do go, the Green Scene and Off the Ball with Cadbury's, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams, paint March green with Cadbury's. Matthew, you need to go and catch a train fairly shortly. What is the crack? What's the route now?
Yeah, so I'm obviously in this airport still and thought off outside the check-in bar, which is pretty fitting, I must say. I'm now going to leave and I actually haven't even thought about how I'm going to get to this train station. I believe it's about a 15-minute drive one way or another. So I'll figure out one way. I might try, see if there's a bit of public transport outside here. I imagine there is, because most European cities do. I think you said, Ben, that there is. Maybe you're talking about Prague, I'm not sure. But yeah, that's my route now. I have to go to the train station here in Wrocław and hop on a train there for 4 hours.
Yeah.
4 hours. And then I arrive in Prague. And if anyone happens to be listening and is on the train, taking their fix of Irish football ahead of the game tomorrow, come looking for me on the train, please.
Great stuff, Matthew. Just before we let you go, we've actually had a Czech team leaked in the last kind of seconds, I suppose. Matic Kovar in goal, Adam, Tomáš Holeš, Hranac, Radoslav Krejci in the back three, Sufal on the right, Jurasek on the left, Derrida and Provod, Sulč ahead of that, and they're going to play a front two, Patrick Schick and Thomas Shorey as well.
Quick to note, this is from a Czech journalist, and basically the only toss-up he has is will Suček or Provod play that midfield role. So that's the one question that's been on our minds for the last day since we read that Czech article. Yeah. Is Suček definitely going to be out? It seems like he could well be, judging by these reports.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we're gonna do some hard hitting journalism now, and we're gonna go and hit the streets of Prague, and we're gonna find.
I also think someone is going to be given the role to sit on Schultz for majority of that game and make sure that he doesn't cause too much damage, because that gets him better.
Yeah, I hope Malumbi has the not the discipline, but I mean, like, as in, like, just, you know, you just have to maybe sacrifice a bit of your own game to kind of concentrate on that type of game. But like I said, we are going to do some hard-hitting journalism. Matthew is going to finally get his way to Prague. We might even have beer in the tap waiting for you when you get here, Matthew. So what we'll do is we'll maybe go and find some good Czech haunts here in Prague, and we'll get back to you. We'll keep you updated on how things are going. So from now, it's kind of all systems go to the game tomorrow night in Prague. A game that you'll be able to listen to live to on Off the Ball from 7 o'clock. Owen Sheehan will be joined by a range of special guests. We'll have Stewie Byrne and Stephen Doyle in commentary from about 7:45. We'll be going on streaming on a little bit later as well after the game tomorrow night. We'll be back on Friday morning with hopefully a celebratory podcast from somewhere in Prague. We'll find a location for that as well. So really, I don't know, is there any point in doing predictions, Matthew?
No.
Let's not do predictions. I think it's, let's not do predictions. So from the train, or from the train station in Wrocław?
No, I'm in the airport, man.
Oh, sorry, from the airport in Wrocław, and from the dingiest cellar of one of the best Irish bars in the world, and probably the
Can I just say, it's actually a brilliant Irish pub. Like, it's not like your stereotypical what's the word I'm looking for, like Heidi Leoy, I like American come to Ireland looking for a traditional Irish pub. Like, it's actually it's quite grungy. Like, it's got good it's music set up. I don't know if you can see it in the back behind us here.
Yeah.
They do live gigs down here. Upstairs is really cool and dark too. It's actually, if you're in Prague, definitely make your way here. Whether we're still here or not, definitely make your way here for one.
We'll definitely I'll be sure to pay a visit,
We'll definitely be here tonight. We'll be doing some live radio here from 8 o'clock Czech time, 7 o'clock Irish time, obviously, on the Go Loud app, on News Talk, and on YouTube and everywhere else where you get it. From myself, from Ben, and from Matthew, thanks for tuning in. We'll be in touch on Friday morning. And until then, come on, you boys in green.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball.
with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Paint March Green with Cadbury.